And the Lord says that he has it for me. But sometimes there's a disconnect with reality where we have to walk in faith on a journey before we receive the promise. We just don't want to be like Jacob and have to wait 430 years to get back in the promised land. But there are those that have died in faith waiting for certain promises to be achieved, and we have inherited that, the good things that they worked for. Ancient people in ancient times and Abraham did not own land or houses. A lot of them lived in tents and were nomadic. So God wanted to transition. He asked Abraham to leave Ur and come out of Samaria and follow him. But his heart was for Abraham to be established and for his children and descendants to be established where they had their own wells. Water bills are not that bad where we live. If you go out west, your water bill is a little different in California. If you go to some place in Africa in the desert, then you may have to go to a well in the middle of town and pay somebody money in order to fill your jug and walk home with it a few miles on top of your head. So when we take it for granted, everybody eat from their own vineyard, their own fig tree, drink from their own cistern. What that means is that God does not want us dependent on somebody else for our daily needs. He wants to establish us in the Lord so that we have everything that we need to live. And water is one of those things that we need to live. The Lord wants us to be strong so that we're not vulnerable to always being in trouble in the world. Like, remember I was talking about those people. He's like, how are you doing today? Oh, I have got all these problems. And the judge hates me. Now I got an abscessed tooth. I can't get in to see the dentist. I don't have dental insurance. Or the dentist says it's going to cost me $4,000 to get my crown and post. And you're like, God wants us strong so that when these things come, that we're not like going under because of it. You know what I mean? He wants to carry us and love us through those situations and provide provision for us and make us so that we are okay. Let's see. I'm going to list off some of the sins the Bible talks about that this is what can turn you into a slave. Jealousy can make you a slave. Anger or rage. You ever know anybody that's just, they're just a slave to their anger? Their anger just rules their behavior. And I know some people that they cannot stay in a relationship because of their anger. And they hurt the people they love because their anger has turned them into their slave. And they need help. Call the Rainbow House. Covetousness. Drunkenness, alcohol can make you a slave. Fear. Fear can turn someone into a slave where their whole life is where they go, who they talk to, what they wear, what they eat. All of it is based on fear. Contentiousness. Some people love to argue so much. They always have to be fighting with somebody and arguing with somebody that sometimes they just can't stop and enjoy the good things in life. When they see something good, they're having an argument about it in their head instead of just enjoying it. Well, we've all been there, right? Adultery. What is it the book of Proverbs says? A man who follows after another man's wife, she'll take him for all he's worth. I mean, this happens in the world. People go off and have an affair, and next thing you know, they're bankrupt because their wife has left them or their husband's left them, and the person that they had the affair with, now they got to pay child support. You know, they took half the house. No, this is a real thing. Fornication, people run around spending lots of money and they lose everything. Homosexuality can cost you a lot. Pride and ambition. People become a slave to their ambition. They spend their whole life chasing after a certain dream or idea or having to be first or having to be recognized. And they lose sight of who God made them to be, and they don't have time for their family, or they don't have time to sleep. Their health breaks down all because they're just trying to push, push, push. Love of money, lawlessness. Some people wreck their lives just because they don't want anyone to tell them what to do. You ever been that person? Somebody tells you what to do and you get so mad you go off and do the opposite. And it doesn't end too well. Some people take that to a really far degree. I know somebody who can't keep a job because anytime their boss tells them what to do, they get mad and they quit. So they've had to face homelessness, move in with family members, get kicked out of their relationships because they can't keep that job. So they just want to do what they want to do. They don't want anyone to tell them. Self-love. Really hard for someone who's in love with themselves to be successful in life. Just very damaging. Gluttony. You can totally destroy your health by overeating or overindulging. My knees tell me every day that I need to lose weight. They waste our time and energy in an unhealthy way. People can kill themselves with depression and anxiety. They can even kill each other over jealousy and envy, right? Here's another example. Let's say somebody, a brother or sister in the Lord or a coworker, said or did something that hurt my feelings. Or I was passed over at work and not given my due at work. I was not praised for doing my project at work. Nobody recognized my achievement, or someone said something that hurt my feelings. I can totally go down a hole and be mad at them and think about how much I hate my job and I hate my situation. Nobody loves me. Then my mind has become a prison of darkness, and I'm trapped in my thoughts. I can't get over what that person said or did to me. It hurts too much. I can't get past it. Now I'm trapped. In my own head, I'm a slave to those negative thoughts. We got to break free from that. The Lord doesn't want us to be trapped in those negative thought patterns every time somebody says or does something that hurts us. Amen. The enemy will mousetrap us and make us hate ourselves and hate other people based on like one timey comment that someone says or does that can upset us. Like, boom, next thing we know, we're just like, oh, we're not in Jesus anymore at that point. What if I look at my neighbor's house and their car and their clothing? I could work myself to death so that my bank account looks the way I want it to look, and I have the house that I want it to be with the designer stuff in it that I want it to have. What if I hate myself and have low self-esteem because my house is not perfect and I'm ashamed to have people over? Now I'm a prisoner of that too, because I can't enjoy my relationships with the people I love because I'm so worried about what someone's going to think when they look at me and like my giant hole in the ceiling. Josh fixed it. Yes, man. This week was breakthrough. I figured something out that I never learned before. You can use a wall eraser on bathtub stains. It's like this bathtub that got messed up by the people who had it, this old bathtub, like, oh my God, we got it to be white. It only took me 2 years to figure that out. But we kept closing the curtain. It was like, nobody can go in that bathroom and look at that bathtub. If they see it, I'll be so ashamed. Okay. That's just a tiny example of how I can become a prisoner and totally change my whole schedule and lifestyle just over a tiny, meaningless detail. I'm not living in freedom. I'm living in anxiety and shame over a tiny thing like a nasty bathtub. And I can't enjoy people coming to my house and spending time with me and Jesus because of something like that. You know, these things may seem really silly to you, but maybe I'm just a silly person. I get caught up in stuff like this. You know, Paul said to be content in plenty and be content in lack. And to trust the Lord and love him and praise, whether I have a whole lot of money or whether I'm buying dollar hot dogs at Dollar Tree and eating those three nights a week with peanut butter and jelly. You know, instead of being a slave to my paycheck, maybe I should just enjoy eating a simple meal with the people I love and make offerings to the Lord and tithe when he gives me the money to do so. That's an act of freedom. When I throw that money in the offering plate, I'm giving the devil the middle finger saying, I am not my own supply. The Lord is my provider. Nobody. I'm giving the devil the middle finger when I put money in the offering. I'm serious. Because I get very anxious over money. And sometimes when I have that $20 bill, or even sometimes a $5 bill, I'm just like gripping it like this. The Lord's like, just put your money in the offering. And I'm just like, right? I'm saying we got to break free. We got to break free from the enemy when it's in our thoughts. I'm glad Tim's going to remember this message now. All right. What if I'm scrolling through Facebook and Instagram and I see my friends? I'm like, daggone, my friends look so good. They so pretty on Facebook. They're making those little poochy duck faces. That's kind of weird, but you know. Or when they do the smile where they don't show teeth because they're afraid for people to see their face. Anyway, but I'm just like, their hair looks so good. Their clothes look so good. Why do I look like an old hag dressed in rags? There, I'm a prisoner in my mind again. The enemy just took 1 second and went, I gotcha. Enemy's got me by the throat now. You know, I have to, like, you have to say no. You have to stop. We can be a slave to workouts. Remember, there was a time when I was losing weight. I tracked every single calorie that passed my lips for years, kept it in a journal and a diary. I don't have time for that with kids, you know. Doesn't work with kids sometimes, but if my self-worth and my personal value is in what I eat, my righteousness comes from whether or not I did my 30-day shred video a certain number of times that week, then my righteousness is not in Jesus. It's in Jillian Michaels. And she does not have it together. You know, if my self-worth and righteousness and value is whether or not I can squeeze into single-digit jeans, then my righteousness is not in Jesus. My joy is not in Jesus. It's in my jeans. I got to stop that. Okay? And some people take it to an extreme to the point where they stay at the gym and they're so into themselves and how they look. Next thing they know, they found somebody else at the gym that they like better than their spouse. And they quit their marriage and go running off somewhere. Now, I can say to myself, I would never do such a thing. Those people are crazy. How could they do such a thing? Well, we always think that we're never going to get into sin, don't we? We always think we're better than that. Until sin comes knocking at our door. Sometimes all it needs is just the right one, the right lure, the right bait. That may not be the bait for me or the bait for you. Because I look at some sweaty person at the gym and I'm just like, you just stay on that side of the room. Don't sweat over here next to me. But, you know, what if it's something else? If the things that I love are in the world, then the enemy has a way where he can bait me. And I can follow the enemy. Like that Sennacherib telling the Israelites, you just open up your city gates and let me come in. I've got wine and grain and oil. You won't be living in famine anymore with the enemy knocking at your door. Just take the easy road and follow me. If this is what you love, the enemy will find a way to tempt you with it. You got to watch, have your mind on guard against those things, whatever it is. It's different for everybody. We can become slaves to bitterness and unforgiveness because it feels so good to be mad. It feels so good to be right and the other person to be wrong, doesn't it? I love it when I'm right and somebody else is wrong, right? Chasing that emotional high of always having to be right can wreck us. It can ruin us so that we can't learn anything. Jesus said, I am humble and meek of heart. Jesus does not want us to be where we are so arrogant that we love being right and we don't like the feeling. It feels bad when somebody criticizes you and tells you you're wrong, doesn't it? That can be an idol where we're so in love with being right that we won't let anybody else tell us we're wrong. That's another stronghold where the enemy can make us a slave. I mean, it can even be extreme to the point where you can't talk to certain people because if you know if you tell them the wrong thing, that they will freak out. You don't want to be that person, right? God doesn't want us to be that person. He wants us to be kind and humble and live in humility. But it feels so good, too, to tear people down. It's like, you ever when somebody makes you mad and you're just sitting there thinking, oh, I just want to tell them what I think about them. If they only knew what I really thought about them. If they only knew what they're really like. Let me just say something to them that's like a smack in the face. Let me just take them down a notch or two. That's a trap. How are we walking in freedom and in love if I'm in that place mentally where I'm... whether it's about a movie or road rage, you know, it's there. Unkind words. If we use unkind words, the road behind us is going to be littered with broken relationships and missed opportunities to minister to people, and God will not bless us. We'll be missing out on the blessing and the promises of his rest. All this stuff, this sin can have us in a tizzy of activity. We're just all the time busy, 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 busy with our emotions being in a big tangle all the time. The Lord just wants to kind of smooth us out. He's like, enter my rest. Come into my peaceful frame of mind. You know, lay some of these things down at the cross. Let me deal with that person. Let me talk to the judge, right? Yeah. Let me pay your bill. Let me help you, says the Lord, right? Drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol are a trap. I drink a little bit of alcohol, but I don't let it snare me. Jesus drank alcohol, so I don't feel guilty about drinking it, but they can become a snare. What if I'm sitting at home and the kids are loud, it's the end of the day, and I'm tired and grumpy and upset? What if I start using that beer or that wine as a baby bottle to help me get through the night? And then the next time I feel stressed out or anxious, I reach for it again. And then the next time I feel stressed or anxious, I reach for it again. After a while, I will not know how to be content and happy without it, and I won't be able to function without it. So people do this because they don't know how to live stable, blessed, established in the Lord, transformed mind, heart full of the word of God, the words of life. They're just looking for relief. And drugs can be the same way. Every now and then when the kids are wearing us out, Josh and I will look at each other and be like, I can totally see why people use uppers sometimes. Just to keep up with my five-year-old, sometimes I'm like, is there a stim pack? Can I just... so I can chase her some more, chase him some more. You know, but it's all false promises. It wears us out, wears down our bodies, messes up our minds, messes up the brain, and leaves us just an empty husk. You know how somebody looks, and after they've been doing meth for 10 years, they just look like a shadow of themselves. You know, it can be anything like that. Prescription pills can be that way, and I'm not saying that, hey, if you're having bad anxiety, the doctor gives you a little something to help you get through that depression and anxiety, take it. If you need medication, I'm not saying don't take the medication, but I'm saying that God wants to bless us over, above, beyond, abundantly, so that we are not living life just for that medication. We're not living life for the drugs, for the alcohol. Does that make sense? So I'm not downing or dissing anybody that's on medication. Sexual sin is a trap. It will turn you into a slave. Pornography turns people into slaves. They spend thousands of dollars whipping out that credit card to be on websites. They'll cross the world to find somebody that they think can give them what they want. Some people become addicted to adultery. They will chase married people on purpose because of the thrill of doing something forbidden. Some people have girlfriends and boyfriends where they're chasing that relationship, and that thrill is the only thing that keeps them going. And without it, they have no joy. They don't know how to function. God wants to be our supply, but when we are with the Lord, our relationships flourish and are blessed more than we could ever imagine without them. And it can be a drug when somebody looks at you and makes your heart pound. You can be a slave to that and chase it all the time. I had friends in college, friends growing up that were like that. They always had to have a different guy. And they were never content with whoever they were with. There was always somebody better out there that they were ready to jump to next. That's slavery. It is. And some people, I could enter that at any point. At any point in my life, I could decide that guy back there is not enough and I could walk away. If I decide to not guard my heart, right? So I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say is just because we're Christians and we're holy doesn't mean we're immune to temptation. The enemy will bring us things in our path to try to lure us out of the promised land and take us back to Babylon, right? Let's see here. And then people try to control each other with their relationships. That's the other thing, is that ungodly people in their relationships, they tend to be very control heavy sometimes. They can be very mean to each other and constantly, they get into all sorts of craziness. Let's see. God, the enemy can take you out by causing you to pursue the wrong relationship. He can distract you from what his plan is for your life. So we got to watch out. We can miss the things of God if we're chasing the wrong people. Let's see. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, so we do not become entangled by the things of this world. Jesus' first miracle was the wedding at Cana. And the last banquet is the wedding feast of the Lamb. And we are invited. God does not tell us to come out of Egypt or to stay away from Assyria because he wants us to be suffer and sad and just live out there in the wilderness. He wants us to join the party and be a part of the feast in relationship with him and with each other.
Amen.
He wants to keep the party going. I'm going to say a little side here. I have a friend, like this generation, I'm just talking about my generation in general, doesn't like to get married. My generation really struggles with getting married. It's a big risk. People see it as a financial risk. They're afraid of broken relationships. And a lot of it is the cost. They don't want to pay the cost because there's a cost to getting married, but living together is free. And you can walk away at any time. There's no risk involved. That's not God's best for us either. And the same live-in boyfriend-girlfriend statistics are for the world as for the church. So in our church culture in America, the same number of people are living together while not being married as they are who are non-Christians. Which really goes to show us that this is also a stronghold. It's a stronghold in our country, and it's a stronghold in our church as well, where people feel like they can just live together and not be married. But there's a difference. I gotta say this. There's a difference between playing house and building a home, they are not the same. Playing house and building a home are not the same. Playing house is for children. Building a home is for grown-ups. God wants us to grow and be strong so that in my heart, I know I can be that person that I can build a steady life for myself. And my house is a place of safety. And I'm not dependent on everything being perfect between my boyfriend or girlfriend in order for me to be happy. I am happy because of the Lord. And my happiness is not based on my relationships. It's too much pressure for us to put on people. Josh, I'm sorry, I love you, but you're not the source of all joy in my life. Sorry, buddy. And you're not the source of my financial provision either. If I put that pressure on him, that's a lot of stress. But our Father in heaven is strong enough for us to put that pressure on him. He is our home. It's him. He's our foundation. Jesus said, where I am, the Father is. And where I am, where I am, Jesus is. Jesus is with me, and I am at home in him all the time, 24/7. And that is something that nobody can take away from me, except for myself when I get too freaked out and I'm not listening to him. Then I have to remind myself, you're home. God's got us. He's got this. He's got us in the palm of his hand. And we do not have to come up with elaborate reasons to do anything else to make ourselves happy. We can pursue the desires of our heart with the Lord, but we don't have to stress about it. We can do it with freedom. For we have come to a Zion that is not built with human hands, and Christ is our chief cornerstone. He is the foundation of our house. We are living stones. We're alive in him. And we can't be moved. We're stable. We got it. And because we're this way, we can welcome others into this church and into our lives. And we can become a safe place for them and minister to them the goodness of God and minister to them his love. That's the kind of church we are, Wellspring. That's us. We're a safe place where people can come here and say whatever they want to say. They can be vulnerable and honest, and no one's going to come up and make fun of them and mock them or judge them. They can be honest. I can be honest about who I am. Even the not so pretty parts. And we are loved here. And the Lord is strengthening us every day, encouraging us every day, building us up every day. Home is a place that you can come home to no matter what. No matter what, we have the open door here. We can come to the Father whenever we want. We can come into the throne room of his grace without any priest except Jesus. And we freely enter and come and go. There are people that God wants to bring to this church to find this as their home. We have to find them. We have to bring them in. Home is marriage to Jesus. Home is with the Lord. Home is the bride of Christ. Home is rest from our enemies. Home is no more oppression. Home is rest from the unending labor and the grind of the world. Revelation 19:7-10. John saw and heard the heavenly multitudes praising God because of the wedding feast of the Lamb, the marriage supper. Back in ancient times, the marriage contract was signed by the parents, not the bride and groom. And the parents would pay, or the bridegroom would pay a dowry. Then later, the bridegroom would get his friends, his buddies. They would start a party in the street. A lot of times they would do it at night. They would have torches, and they would start a big parade with music and singing and dancing. And they would dance in the street. And the bride would know about this ahead of time. She would have her handmaidens with her, her friends, the bridesmaids, and they would be having a party at their house. And they would be getting ready. And this has a lot to do with Matthew 25, with the parable of the 10 virgins. But Jesus has this as a picture in Revelation, of the book of Revelation, with the marriage feast of the Lamb. Jesus is the bridegroom. He is coming to us with all of his angels and all of those holy people who have gone before us, and he's inviting us to go to the feast. And all we have to do is enter the party and be with him, and go out and bring as many people with us as we can to come into the house. All right. Let's see, we already covered all this stuff. Oh, yeah. And slaves don't get married. Only free people get married. This was one of the reasons why in American history, the abolitionists were really gung-ho about freeing the slaves, and a lot of the slaves in the U.S. wanted out. Because they wanted a future with their children, and they wanted to inherit land. They wanted a place to be. So in order for us to be married to Christ, for us to enter his kingdom, we have to leave that slavery mindset behind in order so that we can be co-rulers and reigners with Christ. This is where we belong, not down on the ground being stepped on by the world. But he has thrones for us to sit in together. And that is the last bit that I have got. So, poverty mindset is against inheritance, and poverty mindset is against marriage. If you want to stay poor forever, just have lots of kids out of wedlock, right? As Martinsville. That's what you learn. In Henry County. Be on food stamps. Don't work. Have lots of kids. Don't get married. Just keep pulling unemployment. You'll stay poor forever. God doesn't want that for us. He wants what we do to matter. He wants our legacy to matter in the spirit, as well as the natural. God has work for us to do. God wants us to be a blessing to others and to leave a blessing behind us. One more random aside. I was studying in scripture about baptism, the baptism of the dead. There's a scripture where Paul talks about how they were baptizing dead people in the early church. It's a very controversial scripture. People get into debates about it. But there was a tradition that people had back then that they believed was in the early church, where if you were a godly person, then when you passed away, the people whose life that you had influenced would be baptized into your name, as well as the name of Jesus, as a memorial for the good work that you did and how much you touched their life. And then they would also probably sprinkle the body. So when they would have a funeral for a Christian in the early church, they would have baptism and people would get saved and give their life to the Lord at the same time at the funeral. This is a picture of our salvation, but it's also a picture of how, just if you do not physically have children, then you still can leave a legacy in the kingdom with all of your children in the kingdom of everybody that whose lives that you have touched and who you have loved on. And that God wants us to be that kind of person as well. And if our physical children are not following the Lord, because that could happen. I could do everything in my power to raise my kids to in church. They could just get up one day and decide to leave Jesus behind when they're adults. What would I be able to do about it? Well, I could kick up an awful lot of fuss, but push comes to shove, I can't make that decision for them. That is something that I cannot fix. I can pray, but I can't override their free will. You know? But anyway, God is going to honor, wants to honor and establish us no matter what our physical situation is. He has a good place for us and wants us to be that home for people and bring many sons to glory. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you with gratitude that you have grafted us into your kingdom. We are so thankful with open hearts that you have called us as sons of daughters and that we don't have to slave for the world and sin anymore. Father, we ask that you would help us enter into your rest this week as we go about our business. Lord, show us how to walk in your rest and walk in your promises, following your commands and being a blessing to others as we are blessed by you. Help us live and walk out the blessings of God. And Father, we would ask that you would highlight people to us that need to enter into your rest as well and give us the words to love on them and to help them leave any sort of bondage that they may have, Father. And we ask that you would bring more sons and daughters into this place out of Egypt, Lord. Lord, we ask for souls. Lord, we ask for souls that you would bring people to this church that are living in slavery in the world, in Henry County and Martinsville, that are stuck and don't know how to get out, that they're worn out, Father, and they don't know how to rest in you. We ask that you would expand us. Lord, make us a home for the homeless. Make us a home for the brokenhearted, Lord. Give us boldness, Lord, to speak. And help us bless others, Lord. Help us use our hands for blessing and not cursing, Lord. And if there is anything holding us back in our minds, hindering us from worshiping you in freedom, Father, we ask that you would break it off right now in Jesus' name so that we could be free to worship you and free to enter into the promised land that you have for us.